And I honor the young people, thanking God for every young person, every child that's born, human being. Amen?
Amen.
Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. Heavenly Father, we come to you in the name of Jesus. Lord, thank you for being with us today. You said that you're always with us. You never leave us nor forsake us. And today, Lord, as we draw near to the celebration of your birthday, Lord, we remember you every day, actually, and us on the cross. And Father, we ask that your anointing be upon this congregation, those watching over social media today, Lord. Let your word touch their lives. Let it challenge them, convict them if necessary. And we thank you for your written word, Lord, for it's what we live by. It's who we are, Father, serving you, the mighty God. And we give you all the praise and all the glory in Jesus' name. And everybody said,
Amen.
Hallelujah. Glory to God. Now I'm just going to have, if you can, just stand one more time. And just say, praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
And now do this. Now, you know, heaven's going to be exciting. You know, there's a small congregation here, but when I look out and see that, heaven's going to be incredible.
Yes.
Amen?
Amen.
And there's going to be Jesus, not me, standing in the front.
Yes.
Praise the Lord. Now, look at somebody with your hands in there and say, I'm glad you're here today.
I'm glad you're here today.
You may be seated. Hallelujah. I like to give you a little bit of exercise, too, to get that blood flowing there, you know? Hallelujah. Glory to God. Well, I'm glad you're here. You know, I thought there was more tough Minnesota people, but I tell you what, we're a tough bunch here in Minnesota. I think it was what my truck said. It was 10 below at one point and 9 below when I got into Coon Rapids here. But it's a cold day, but it doesn't stop Minnesota people, does it?
No.
So praise the Lord. I'm glad you're here. Glad you made it. And praise the Lord. You know, is there, last week I should have done it, but I didn't do it. I wanted to ask if there's anybody who wanted to give a testimony. And one person did last week, and they're not here this morning, but we'll catch them. But is there anybody this morning who would like to give a testimony to the Lord? Something's, would you?
Yes, I will.
Okay, do you want to do it on the microphone here? I think these work, right?
Yep.
We're supposed to? There you go.
I'm going to cry.
Go ahead.
Okay.
She's my twin sister.
Hello.
Hello.
This happened 8 years ago, but I have to share it. The Lord is so good.
Amen.
Yes. I got to make it short, but I had a heart attack. I was saved by the grace of God. I had 2 stents put in. A week later, I had open heart surgery, had double bypass. A week later, I developed sepsis and was in the hospital in a coma on life support. A week later, I was out of the university well and healthy, thank the
Hallelujah.
Lord. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. God is good. Amen. Hallelujah. Anybody else? Lee? Here, you just. She didn't even really need a microphone, did she?
I got to tell you guys. You know, some of you already know about something that happened recently in my life with about, you know, 3 years ago I was diagnosed, or not diagnosed, I had to have a toe amputated on my right foot. But I want to put 3 major testimonies in the last 2 years together here. I gave a testimony about a year and a half ago that my mother, who I had been praying for 31 years, we come from a Jewish family, came to the Lord 3 months before she died.
Oh,
yeah. And then this in November, I was I'd been applying for disability, and I was struggling greatly financially. Well, on November 26, I was awarded the disability and every back pay from disability all the way back to July of 2022. And then when I was living in Nashville, I lived there for 6 years. Just before I left Nashville, I met a gal that we had a great connection. And I was actually upset because I knew I was on my way out of Nashville at that point. We kept in touch. She was a great gal. She went through a breast cancer journey about 4 years ago. And she's almost in remission now. But we talked on the phone for a couple of years, and we kind of lost, you know, we stopped talking. I thought that that was it, and she didn't want to talk to me anymore. About a year and a half ago, she called me. And she started talking to me again. She's somebody who hates the cold, doesn't like that, will never live in a cold weather state. This week, she had told me she'd been thinking about us and thinks we would have probably ended up together if we'd have lived down there. So now we're talking, and now she says she's open to coming up here. So I'm going to go down there in January to visit with her and bring her up here probably in the spring to see Minnesota when it's not 16 below zero. And who knows what the Lord will do with that. So I wanted to give that because the Lord is so, I've had so much to go on in my life, but the Lord, you just keep on pressing on. Don't ever stop pressing on because he will bless you. He will.
Amen. Yeah. Hallelujah. Anyone else? Anyone else? Going once? Twice? I'm preaching. Hallelujah. Has anyone in here ever been given an expensive gift?
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, a really expensive gift. Nobody?
Yeah.
You've been given pretty nice gifts, though, right? How many have been given nice gifts? Praise the Lord. Well, I was thinking about that, about what's really a really great gift to have. And so my message today is your most valuable possession that was given to you. What do you think that is?
Salvation.
Pardon?
Salvation.
Salvation is it, but it's not the one.
Jesus.
Anyway, it's something each of us has. Taking it wherever we go, it is the essence of who you are. It's your soul. It's the most valuable possession that you own and have. And I think it's really important. I thought it's important to talk about that this time and what the Lord did for us. You know, it's our soul. The human soul is regarded as the immaterial center of who we are. It is where we think, feel, choose, and worship. It's immortal, separable from the body at death, capable of moral judgment, and susceptible to happiness or misery in a future state. That's our soul. And the human soul is the most valuable and vulnerable part of who you and I really are. Your soul will go on living forever. Forever. It will never stop. Ecclesiastes 3:20. All go on to one of the dust, and all turn to dust again. And that reverses to the universal curse of sin upon mankind. Every one of us are made from the same piece of dirt. Kind of keeps you humble, doesn't it? We're made from dirt, dust. That's how we're made. But one day these bodies that you and I are looking at right now will turn back to dust. They are going to turn back to dust. Matthew 24:35 says, "Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words shall not pass away." They'll never pass away. When the sun, the moon, and the stars are burned themselves out, your soul will still go on living. You know, NASA scientists said that the sun is probably going to burn for another 5 billion years. Don't plan on being there around. Well, actually we will. If you're a Christian. But they said after the 5 billion years, it's going to burn out and just be a dwarf star, a hot dwarf star. But 5 billion years, that's a long time, isn't it? But that isn't as long as you and I are going to live. Think about that. God created us that way. And the only other thing that will never pass away is the Word of God, this. That's why the devil's working so hard to change it all the time, because he thinks he can change it and it's going to stay. Man will even try to change it, speak around it, change the meaning or whatever they want to do. But God's Word is His Word, and it's going to be exactly the way He said it.
Amen.
And we need to be aware of that. But your soul, in Genesis 1:26, and God said, "Let us make man in our image after our likeness." That's why the devil hates you and I so bad. We're made in the image of God. Every one of us. Every human being that's ever been created is created in God's image. Made in His image. And it's worth more than all the houses and all the gold and all the silver and everything that this world calls it, wealthy, rich, whatever you want to call it. Whatever kind of materialistic thing you can get. Land, I don't care what it is. Your soul is more valuable than any of those things. Body, soul, and spirit. Rubies and diamonds. How many of you ladies like diamonds? Your soul is more expensive than a diamond. But body, soul, and spirit. The body being the physical function, it's where we feel our physical senses, such as our sight, our taste, our smell, our hearing, our touch. And then the Bible defines the soul as the essence of a person that encompasses emotion, like happiness, love, sorrow, anger, relief, compassion, where you make choices in life. That's the soul of who you are. Finally, the spirit is the part that connects directly with God. The deepest part of a person, and is how we contact God, is in the spiritual realm through our spirit. Together, they represent different aspects of human existence, the soul relating to the humanity and the spirit to our spiritual relationship between God, our Creator. The body contains the soul, and the soul contains the spirit. Your soul is worth more than whatever this whole world can offer. Remind ourselves of that each and every day. Your body may return to dust, but your soul will never, ever cease to exist. It will go on for all eternity. Again in Genesis 2:7, it says, "And the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and the man became a
living soul."
God created us. Isn't that something?
Yes.
He created, He wanted us to be around forever. What a loving God we have. We can't say enough about the Lord, can we? But we take those things for granted many times. You don't just possess a soul, each and every one of us. It is what makes you unique and different from all other things in this world. Animals, plants, whatever. We're unique, we're made. We have eternal souls. That's why in Genesis 1:26, and God said, "Let us make man in our image after our likeness." We created just like the Lord. You have a soul, you live in a body, and you're created in the image of God. The problem with many of us is that we pamper the body and we neglect the soul. Don't we?
Yeah.
We're more concerned about the body than we are the soul. Our body can, without almost immediate response, we'll try to fix it to meet our needs. The world knows that just watching advertisements today are unbelievable. All geared to the body, right?
Yeah.
Everything, how you look, everything you can think of, we're constantly being talked about the body, the body, body. And some of them are really, you wish your young people didn't even have to see advertisements today. Because it's all focused on the body.
Mm-hmm.
Nothing about the soul. It's all about the exterior. Look at the medications today. Especially during that, aren't they?
Yeah.
Whatever problem you got, they got a pill for it. I should say a poison pill for it.
That's right.
After I listened to the after effects of taking some of these medications, the disease is sometimes better for you. Wow. But that's what happens when we're focused on the body. That's what they're after, the body. But for example, the body says, I'm hungry or thirsty, and we'll almost immediately, as soon as possible, we'll go to find something to eat and drink. The body says, I'm too hot or too cold. We almost immediately work to adjust the temperature, make sure the body's doing good. The body says, I'm hurt or in pain. And again, I just mentioned the medications. Medications for everything you can think of. We pamper the body. We selfie the body. We feed the body. We rest the body. Selfie, big deal today, aren't they? Young people, even the older people, got their phones out here like this here. Paul wrote in 1 Timothy 4:8, for bodily exercise profits little, but godliness is profitable unto all things, having the promise of life that now is and of that which is to come. It's healthy for you, but it's not the most important thing in your life. It's your soul that you need to be concerned about. But the soul is often left for days, weeks, months, without praying, without reading their Bibles, fellowship, talking to the Lord, whatever. It's neglected because we're fulfilling, making sure the body is satisfied with whatever's going around. But we need to be concerned about our soul. It's a gift from God. It's the most valuable possession that any human being has right now. Every one of us in here have our soul, a living soul. And God sees them and loves them. Jesus warned in Mark 8:36, for what shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? And this is literal. People can literally lose their soul seeking after the world. And it's really sad today. We spend our days worrying about what can hurt the body, yet our greatest danger is neglecting the part of us that lasts forever. We're flippant about it. We don't take it seriously. And to realize that God created us to be with Him for all eternity. But that's the one thing that we kind of slip by all the time. We're always concerned about everything else. Children that, adults, we need to teach our children that their soul is the most precious and valuable thing that they have that God has given them. And train them in the Word of God. The soul is where sin takes root, by the way, but also repentance is born there too. It is where truth is either suppressed or received in faith. And it is the soul that will be judged or saved at the very end. It is our soul that will stand before God and will give an account. The word soul appears some 458 times in the scripture. About 78 times it's mentioned as souls, plural. But 458 times it's mentioned in there, God reflects on souls. The soul can be cut off from God. Matthew chapter 10, 28. And fear not them which kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul, but rather fear him which is able to destroy both soul and body in hell. The soul will either be redeemed or your soul will be condemned, according to the Word of God. The soul is capable of loving and responding to God. It says in song, and this is a song, by the way, too. You probably heard it. Psalms, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless His holy name. I like that song, Amy. Let's try to sing that sometime. We really need to hear that. I never thought about it before, but that has such deep meaning. Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 5. And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart and with all thy
soul
and with all thy might. That's how we love God, with all of our soul. Our very being, we tell Him we love Him. That's why God says, draw nigh to me and I'll draw nigh to you. We need to fall in love with Jesus. Yes. You know, when you fall in love with tendency not to want to seek the worldly things. Yeah. because he becomes more and more real to you and how important he is in your family, your children, every part of your life. Then we get into the book of Ezekiel and we discover the soul can sin. Ezekiel 18:4 says, "Behold, all souls are mine, as the soul of the Father, so also the soul of the Son is mine. The soul that sinneth, it shall die." There it is right there. The soul that sins shall die. And who's the soul? Who's the soul? The soul that sins. And we need to think about that. The soul of a sinner, by the way, is headed for death because of his own sin. Not those of his father or his grandfather. We can't blame the sin on any of them. If our soul is sinned, we sinned. Daniel 12:2 says, "And many of them that sleep in the dust of the earth shall awake, some to everlasting life, and some to shame," meaning disgrace and rebuke, "and everlasting contempt." Those who now look with contempt, that word contempt, I looked it up and it means worthless. On the Bible and Christianity, and there are those that are worthless, and Christianity is worthless. Christianity will eventually, those people will experience everlasting contempt, eternal contempt on themselves, as well as everlasting destruction. Not taking their soul seriously. Matthew 25:46 says, "And these shall go away into everlasting punishment." That word punishment there, when you look it up, means torment. Everlasting torment. "But the righteous into eternal life." So if life is eternal here in Scripture, so is also the everlasting punishment, the torment, in spite of what you're being told today. Some of you probably know Kirk Cameron. Changed his mind on Scripture now and believes that there is no such thing as eternal punishment. You can look it up yourself. But he's wrong. See, you can't just read the Bible, you have to study the Bible. People say, "Well, I don't understand the Bible." Well, then study it, right? That's why we go to school. We get brains. They teach us things in school. Same thing in the Bible. You read the Bible, you need to study it. They say, "Well, it's too hard to understand." I'm going back to the word again, study. King James, "Oh, it's too hard." All those, that's harder words to understand than the modern translations. It's the easiest one to understand. And the words that you may not understand, look them up. Look them up. Amen. That you remember that way too. Oh, I know it. When I read that now, and the Holy Spirit helps you to remember, oh, I know that word now, and you can read it. That's why the Bereans, you know, study, show yourself approved, not a workman to be ashamed, but study. See, Deuteronomy 4:29 says, "But if from thence thou shalt seek the Lord thy God, thou shalt find him, if thou seek him with all thy heart and with all thy soul." I got to do it. The soul can become bitter, and I'm not going to look these up, but I'll give you a reference, one of them. There's others for these too. The soul can become bitter, Job 7:11. The soul can thirst, Psalm 63:1. The soul can be blessed, Psalms 103:102, as I earlier read. The soul can be satisfied, Psalm 63:5. Some seek to destroy the soul, Psalm 63:9. And by the way, the devil wants your soul. The devil wants it, and he will not give up. He will not give up. Lee said it this morning, never give up. Keep on keeping on, no matter how difficult the trial is, no matter how difficult, if your faith is being rocked, if the devil's coming along saying it's not, nothing's real, God isn't real, Christianity isn't real, this world... Don't listen to it. Listen to this. Amen. Read it. Go right back to it and say, "God, help thou my unbelief." Remember last week? Mm-hmm. 1 Peter 5:8 says, "Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour." He's looking for the soul who is troubled. He's looking for the soul who is full of bitterness and hatred and anger. He's looking for those types of things. He's looking for the soul who's into pornography. He's looking for the soul who's into adultery. He's looking for the soul that's into fornication. He's looking for the soul that's into stealing and a thief and gossip and all the other sinful things that mankind does. He's looking for those who are locked into him to destroy the soul. The devil is actively at work in our world, and he's after your soul. Be aware of it. We do not have to be afraid, but we need to be aware of it. Because greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world.
Amen.
People that are afraid of witches and warlocks and different things, we don't need to be afraid of any of that. For greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world.
Amen.
They're the ones that need to be fearful.
Yes.
And are, actually. God never meant that there would be suffering and war and death in this world. He never meant for that. You know, today you turn your television on and here over in Australia, 12 people lost their lives by two gunmen. 12 souls went into eternity this morning, earlier today. Or evening, whatever the time is in Australia. Last evening in Brown, and two more people had gone into eternity just last night. 9 of them injured. The devil is after souls. He wants to take out God's creation because we're created in God's image. Satan came. The devil, he was a mighty angel, possibly the greatest of all that God had created. He was a beautiful creation of God's. Ezekiel, you can read about it. I won't turn to it, but you can read about it in Ezekiel chapter 28 about what he looked like. And you can read also in Isaiah 14 how he rebelled against God through pride because of his beauty. He wants you and I to worship him. And that's why we're heading for the end times, the 666 thing in Scripture, which is a whole other subject. We won't get into that today. The mark of the beast, what is it all about? The control. Satan wants to control mankind. Destroy them, control them. God said to man in Genesis chapter 3, verse 3, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God has said, ye shall not eat of it, neither shall ye touch it, lest ye die. See, he gave man a free will, didn't he? He's telling them not to do it. You can eat or not eat from that tree. Your choice. God isn't forcing us to do anything. He wants us to do things out of love for him, to serve him. Genesis chapter 3, verse 6, and when the woman saw that the tree was good for food and that it was pleasant to the eye and a tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof and did eat and gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat. The husband did too. And that was the first rebellion of people against God right there in the garden. God had to keep his word, just God, would he? It's like today, we don't see any justice in our world today. We turn TV on again and we read of all the injustices that are happening in our world today. Criminals are boasting and gloating and arrogant because they think they're getting away with it, but they're really not. Because they are souls one day that will stand before a judge. They may get away with it in this life, maybe, maybe not. But we're seeing injustice. But see, the God we serve, and I'm so thankful, he is a just God. He's just. Genesis chapter 2, verse 17. But of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, thou shalt not eat of it. Eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. Did God warn them?
Yes.
Do you think God really meant what he said when he said that to them?
Yes.
Adam and Eve experienced spiritual death the moment they disobeyed God by eating the fruit. They were separated from God within an instant. Their choice. God didn't separate from them. They separated from him. And that's what we do when we sin. Even as Christians, we need to repent. But the world today is out there and they're on the road to an eternal hell. They say, did God really say that? Did God really say that there's a hell? Did God really say there's a heaven? That's how the devil works on us, on mankind, always questioning. Today you got people blatantly coming out that said God's not real. God's dead. All these things are the works of the enemy into the mind to get people to destroy them. Their physical death occurred later, didn't it? Adam and Eve's death. It didn't occur that day. When God said that day, he meant spiritually. That very day they will die. And they did. I don't even know if I read nothing in Scripture. I don't read it. But God had a plan. Hallelujah. God said, in spite of their rebellion, I'm going to save the human race. I'm going to send my only son to earth to die for them. And he did. Praise the Lord. No matter what a backslider says, no matter what an unsaved person says, no matter what a deceived person says, Jesus Christ is alive today.
Yes.
He arose from the dead. Satan tried to kill Jesus, by the way, on his way to the cross, too. Remember that? The enemy, he's still working to deceive and lead astray as many souls as he can. He tried to get Jesus even at the beginning. He had a massacre of young children, 2 years and under. Killed them all to try to make sure he got Jesus, the devil. And look what happened on the cross. Satan thought he won when they had Jesus hanging on a cross. His flesh torn off. You could see his organs in his body. His beard torn out. Crown on his head. Blood coming out of every area of his very being. His head 10 times because of the swelling and the beating. Satan looked at him and said, ha ha, I gotcha. He's still trying to do that today to make us think that he's much stronger than Jesus. In the gospel, Jesus said in Matthew 13:19, when anyone heareth the word of the kingdom and understands it not, then comes the wicked one and catches away that which was sown in his heart, this is he which received the seed by the wayside. That person didn't do anything with it, is what it's saying. They ignored the seed that was planted. They didn't do anything with it. That's why when people come forward and they give their life to Christ, they can come forward and do it. But what they need to do, not work out their salvation, but study the word and learn it and allow the seed to grow within their hearts and lives. Otherwise, the devil is going to come and steal it away from them, which happens many times. Billy Graham even said that. What was the percentage? 75% of people who come in his crusades, a lot of them never ever go to church or go back into a church. And the Lord knows that. But that's the devil at work. Escape, but they don't want him to be Lord. But I tell you what, we should want to serve this God that loves us. Another value of your soul is measured by God's concern. Romans 5:8, but God commendeth his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Just think about that. While we were yet sinners. God sees your soul as the most valuable possession in the world when he looks at you and I. He looks at you and his thoughts toward us are goodness and mercy and kindness. And he looks at us and say, that's my creation. And I created him to come and live with me and to love me, to have a relationship. That's what he's excited about. That's what he's excited about even today while you and I are living today. He wants that relationship. He wants you and I to communicate with him on a regular basis. Tell him your joys. Tell him your hurts. Tell him your things that are going on in your life. He wants to hear it. He's our Father. And when you tell him, he's working on your behalf because he loves us so much. 2 Peter 3:9, the Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is longsuffering toward us, not willing that any should perish, but all should come to. People, Christians are crying all around, come Lord Jesus, come, we want you to come now, we're tired of all this stuff and happening in this world. And that's a good place to be. To look for his coming, to desire his coming, to love him. The Bible says, I'm coming for them who love me. I'm coming for those who are looking for me. But God's long-suffering for that last soul, that hardened criminal, that sinful person, no matter how sinful they are, God's looking for them and wanting repentance, and he gives them every opportunity. That's why when I read these stories of these people that are living up in their hundreds, that's the grace and mercy of God. That's God's grace. That's why he's saying, I'm going to let you live a little. And he'll give it to the last moment when there's no more hope for him. It's a terrible thing when a person loses their health, their money, their family. It's a horrible thing. But what does it cost when a person loses their soul? The other things are temporal. But the soul, that's eternal. When someone is physically lost in society, together we can help find them, to save them. But you know, when a person loses their soul, there's nothing anyone can do. There is no such, it's not in Scripture. It's a lie of the devil. It's never been in there. They can't find it. They'll try to, but they'll never find it. Jesus said to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. The Bible says that there's a heaven to gain and a hell to shun. But see, when somebody gets lost or a soul is lost, it's not reported in the news. That doesn't cause much stir or excitement in anybody when somebody dies. They don't think about the soul. Yet the soul is worth far more than anything in this world. Soul, nothing, absolutely nothing. There's no replacement for your soul. Only God can truly seek and find your soul. Did you know that you're lost and God isn't? It's always interesting when you hear a testimony. I understand that they say, I found the Lord. I found the Lord. No, you didn't. God found you. And in reality, you say, well, no, I found, no, you did not. God has never been lost. Ever. It's you he found, because you and I are lost in this world. Our souls are lost because of sin, and he sent Jesus to die on a cross, and the Holy Spirit, he sent for us. And then when he does, he speaks to us. Some come to the Lord and some reject it. But it's us that are lost, not the Lord. Suppose all the gold in the world and wealth and riches you could ever dream of owning were yours, but you lost your soul. Would you, anyone in here, would you do that? You don't have to raise your hand. Would you want to do that? Somebody walked in and said, you can have all the gold and silver in this world, and anything else you want, it's yours, but I want your soul. Do you think anybody would take up on that? Probably not in the church, if you're a Christian, but I tell you what, there's a lot of people doing it in the world. And they're finding out. Matthew 16:26, for what is a man profit if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man gain and give in exchange for his soul? Jesus said it would be a foolish bargain. I'm trying to think. I think it was Jim Carrey, the Grinch guy, Grinch, Stole Christmas guy. He's to a point in his life, I believe, his testimony is accurate. I listened to part of it. I thought he really did a great job talking about the gospel. And I'm trying to think of the other movie star too, where they're to a point in life where money means nothing to them. All the finances that they gain, they're coming up to the end. They're all both getting older too. But they start seeing, what's it worth? I'm unhappy. I destroyed my life. I destroyed other people's lives. I have nothing. I'm looking for something. I'm looking for satisfaction. They didn't find it in any of those things. That's why I'm against prosperity preaching in the church. Those churches are full. They're full. I just watched one last night of a well-known, Mike Todd is the guy's name, in his church, doing rap, jumping up and down, and that's not the point, but doing the jumping up and down, telling the people to bring bags and everything for finances and all that, because that's what they're thinking of, to get rich. Instead, he'd be smarter to tell his congregation that there's a day coming when you're going to have to give an answer. And many are going to the wealthy part. They want riches. They want wealth. They want to feel good about themselves. They want entertainment. They want all those things. But the preacher isn't telling them that soul, who you are, is one day going to die. And it could even be at this very moment. Luke 12:20, Jesus. And he spake a parable unto them, saying, the ground of a certain rich man brought forth plentiful. And he thought within himself, saying, what shall I do, because I have no room where to bestow my fruits? And he said, this will I do. I will pull down my barns and build greater, and there will I bestow all my fruits and goods. And I will say to my soul, soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry. But God said unto him, thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Then who shall those things be which thou hast provided up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God? Do you know, that should wake anybody up. Did you know, you heard the old saying, there's no U-Haul behind the hearse? You know, I saw a guy one time who got buried with his John Deere tractor. And another guy got buried with his Mercedes. He wanted to take it with him. How ridiculous. How the devil lies to people. Our soul. I found out at 6:33 that I'm rich. Jesus said, seek ye first my kingdom and my righteousness, and everything you have need of will be added on. So I live my life knowing that God's going to take care of me, and he's going to bless me with this and bless me with those things, and they're all blessings. But once they become a god to you, you're in danger. God says not to seek after riches. He says that in his word. But yet preachers are telling people to do it. I don't need to. If I'm doing God's business, he's doing mine. Amen?
Amen.
When I know I'm serving the Lord, he's good, and then he gives blessings on top of that. Look at all the people we hear making deals with the devil today, movie stars, singers. Literally, they're coming out of the woodwork and publicly announcing it today, that they're making deals, they're selling their souls because they wanted to be able to be a beautiful singer, have riches, have fame, have fortune. And if you look at the older ones right now, they're aging faster than ever. And they're starting to realize that life is coming to an end. And now they're saying, what did I do? For riches and fame. Because the soul is the only thing that's going to go on living. And it's going to be either in heaven or it's going to be in hell. What do they get? That they made a bad deal. Nobody ever gains the whole world anyway. Nobody. But it's even more amazing to me how many people will sell their soul so cheaply. Judas sold Jesus for 30 pieces of silver. He went out and hung himself. For 30 pieces of silver. He was so hooked on money, he forgot about his soul. And Jesus even gave him the last opportunity to repent. Jesus let him know, I know who you are. Paraphrasing. And Judas could have repented, but he didn't. He followed through. And I'm convinced that there are many people who will sell their soul a lot cheaper than that today for whatever. people are so motivated by money, fame, popularity. But you know something? God already owns everything, so I go to Him. Think about what the Lord wants. About what the Lord thinks about it. Let me tell you, we need to have a lot more respect and fear of God today. Nice. Amen?
Amen?
We do. People will sell out their soul so cheaply. I mean, you're giving your soul away, realize it, for worldly things. It's not your eyes. You're not giving your eyes away, your ears, your hands, but your soul. Your very soul. In exchange for what? A few extra dollars here and there? A few minutes of pleasure here or there? That's more important to you than God is? Popularity? Applause by man? People are so busy seeking those things, they forget about their soul because they want applause, trophies, here today, gone tomorrow. Everything's going to turn to dust. I'm not being negative. I got a home in heaven that's great. Jesus said He's got a mansion there built for us. Streets are with gold and silver. We'll be walking on the stuff. Think about that. And your soul's going to be there, but if you're not repentant in your heart, you're not going to be there. According to the Word of God, you need to repent in your life. But people today, they're taking chances with their souls. And it's all that you really have. Yet people sit in churches unmoved, their hearts unbroken. They're not concerned about their soul or anybody else's soul. Taking a chance with their eternal destiny. The greatest thing you and I, and you've heard this said, the greatest thing that you and I can do as Christians, taking that the only thing we can take to heaven is another soul. Right. By sharing our faith with them and leading them to Christ and living the life in front of them and encouraging. Our children, some of you got little children, that's the only thing you'll ever be able to take to heaven with you, and that's why you need to teach them the Word of God and show them what's important in life, that their little soul is the most important. I wish more young people, teenagers and stuff, could be told that in schools and colleges and stuff and reminded about their souls. Don't be so careless with such a valuable thing. Even if you could get everything you wanted, it wouldn't give you peace of mind, happiness, joy. You'll still always be searching. Great riches cannot make you happy. Much popularity cannot make you happy. Only the peace of God coming into your heart, into your soul, through Jesus Christ can bring peace and joy and happiness to your soul. If you need happiness and joy, start praising Him.
Yes. Yes.
Start thanking Him. Yes. If you need peace and joy, run to Him when you have a problem. If you need peace and joy, go to Him and give Him all the glory and all the honor. Whether you're doing it privately or corporately, praise Him. Never be ashamed to do that. I'm not ashamed to do that in front of this world because they're not ashamed to tell me filthy things, do filthy things, and God loves them. My job is to go out there and praise Him in public and not be ashamed because I have the answer, Jesus Christ. He's the only one that can save our souls.
Amen.
The eternal soul has only one of two conditions. The first is eternally saved. And if that condition is not remedied during a lifetime here on earth, Jesus Christ as your Savior, it's too late. It's got to be done while your heart's beating. It can't happen afterward. No one can pray you out of hell. I'm talking this way because there's people watching. I know a lot of you know that already, but I got to say it, amen?
Amen.
Yeah. I'm witnessing. 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 2. For He saith, I have heard thee in a time accepted, and in the day of salvation have I succored. That word succored meaning help thee. Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. Right there? Now is the day. If you're not saved today, you're in danger. And I see it more and more after COVID. I've never seen so many young people dropping dead in schools, on the football field, people dying on their jobs. I've never seen young and old, not just older people, but younger people. Every day. That's why God says right here, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation, because that soul could be lost within a moment. For eternity, there's no other remedy or plan for it. The other condition is that being born again soul. That the modern church doesn't want to use that term anymore, born again. Jesus wanted to use it. He told Nicodemus, ye must be born again. He told him twice within the same scripture. Yea, I say, ye must be born again. And if Jesus said, I must be born again, guess what? I need to be born again. I do not read in there, Jesus did not say to Nicodemus, ye must be a Christ follower. But the born again? Oh, you don't want it. I do. Jesus said that we need to be born again. The person is in fellowship and relationship with God through the Lord Jesus Christ during this life will then enjoy his presence of the Lord for eternity when you're born again. Being born again, coming to Christ. Because see, we all are when we were separated from God in the garden, we needed a new spirit. We needed a soul. And when we come to Christ and we become born again, the Bible says we need to be born of the water and born of the Spirit, the Holy Spirit. We need the Holy Spirit within us. Why? Because it's us, the Holy Spirit. And the water, I believe personally, and there's different ways, and you can look it up and study it, and it's questioned. People say water, it's not water baptism, born of the water. The Bible does speak about the Bible being the water of the Word. It washes us. Baptism does not get you to heaven. We need to be born again. When you come to Christ and you ask Him to be Lord of your life and to repent of your sin, His Holy Spirit will literally come in and live within you and make you righteous. And the only way you get to heaven, God looks at you and says, why should I let you in? You can say, because I belong to Jesus. I'm born again. I have His righteousness. That's how we do it. And I cleanse my life every day. Sanctification comes through the washing of the Word. We're daily sanctified when we take this and apply it to our Word. This cleanses, helps cleanse us. It's the purity of the Word of God. And people have to understand that. We're being sanctified to be like Jesus. Not better than anybody, because we're not. But we're made to become holy through the Word of God. I want to call you to a decision this morning. If there's any crowds kind of down again this morning, and praise the Lord. We're not the frozen chosen, by the way. But a decision to surrender your body and soul and spirit to God. Literally, you can sit there even as a Christian today and you haven't been where you belong. Surrender your whole very being to Him. God, take all of my soul. All of it. I want to glorify you with my soul, with my mind that you gave my heart. I want to glorify you and begin to stir up the gift that's in you. Scripture talks about. And He'll begin to use you in supernatural ways in your life. Accept the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior. Not just a Savior, make Him your Lord. People don't like the word Lord. They like the word Savior. I want to be saved, but I don't want somebody telling me what to do. God doesn't tell you what to do. He shows us what to do. And He does that through His Lordship. Will you give yourself fully to the Lord today? You watching by social media, if you're watching, will you give your life totally to the Lord? It's very easy to do. It's not difficult. Simply crying out for the thief on the cross. He didn't get baptized. He didn't take communion. He didn't pay tithes. He just simply looked at Jesus and said, remember me this day. Remember me. And Jesus, guess what Jesus did? Jesus read his thoughts. He knew that there was repentance in that comment. And he forgave him. The other one didn't. So in conclusion, I'll stop there. But your soul is so vitally important. What are you doing with your soul? Are you gambling with it? Taking chance with your soul? Are you living in some sin that you shouldn't be living in, and you're making excuses and saying, I can't. Thanks to Christ who strengthens you. I've given you the power to become the sons of God. There'll be no excuses. And you're jeopardizing your soul even as a Christian if you're living in habitual sin. John 14:15. If you love me, keep my commandments. See, judgment day will tell you really if you love Jesus or not. Judgment day will tell the truth. If you are in Christ, your soul is being renewed and guarded for the day of resurrection. But if not, your soul remains exposed and guilty and restless and unprepared for death. Don't ignore it. Repent of your sin. Place your trust in Jesus, in Him. We need to do that. So I ask, are you born again? And you can know. The Bible says in 1 John 5:13, these things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know that ye have eternal life, and that ye may believe on the name of the Son of God. You don't have to miss heaven. No one has to miss heaven. No one. So are you putting your relationship with Christ first and foremost in your life? We've got sloppy agape today in the Christian world. We take him when we want him, and we don't. We do our own thing. Has committed to anything hardly today in the modern church, most of it. But our souls are so important. Christ demands more than just church going, more than just baptism, more than just being good. He demands more than that. He said, obey me. He demands your total surrender, the surrender of your mind, your heart, your soul. He demands it because he knows the value of that soul. He wants you to make it to heaven. Every part of you. You give every part of you to the Lordship, your body, your mind, your soul. You give it all to him. 1 Thessalonians 5:23, the very God of peace sanctify you wholly. And I pray, God, your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. That's what God's doing, a work in us. Let's all stand. Your soul, the most valuable thing, the most valuable thing. And I want to ask, with every eye closed and head bowed, if I may this morning, please, watching by social media, are you ready? Is your soul ready to die? Do you know where you're going when you die? If you say, well, I think I do, well, then you're in danger. Or you say, I hope I do, then you're in danger. The Bible says we can know. Heaven, you got to know that you made the right choice in life, because you only have one shot at it, and it could end today. And if you're watching this morning, I say to you and those in here, if there's anyone in here right now, Jesus told us, and it's important to let you know so that you know you're not being picked on too. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. There are none righteous, not one. And our righteousness that we think is going to open the door to get points for God is worthless. One person asked the other day, I know a man at 911. He went up that stairs 10 different times to say, he said, will he go to heaven for doing that? And the preacher said, no, he won't. Because his righteousness does not get into heaven, only the righteousness of Christ. Our good works do not get us to heaven. Our good works are a result of our salvation. We depend upon Jesus' righteousness. And the wages of our sin is death. But God gave us the gift of salvation and an abundant life. Is there anyone in here this morning at the sound of my voice say, Pastor, I want to recommit, or I want to surrender my life to Jesus, just put up your hand. I'm not going to embarrass you. In here. Publicly, Jesus always asks publicly, because when you ask publicly, I found out it solidifies your decision. Now you're telling everybody that I gave my life to Jesus. And it makes it less easy for the devil to take away the seed too, because now you're committed. But is there anyone to say, Pastor, I want to give my life to Jesus this morning? If you're watching, you can do that at home. You can just say, Lord Jesus, forgive me of my sins. Come into my life right now, and I ask for forgiveness for every sin I've ever committed. And I surrender my life to you right now. I ask that the blood of your Son, Jesus Christ, cleanse me from all unrighteousness. And I receive you right now through the Holy Spirit to come into my life. And you, Jesus, to be Lord of my life. I believe you came to earth and died. And I believe you rose again. And I believe you're coming back again. And I surrender my total life to you from this point on. And with your help, Lord Jesus, from this point on, I'm going to live my life totally for you. When you do that, when you pray that way, it isn't the prayer that saves you, it's the commitment in your heart to Him. Heavenly Father, this morning we thank you for another opportunity, one another. Lord, we thank you for coming to earth and dying. As we remember this season we're in right now, Lord, we're so thankful, Lord, that you sent Jesus. What a Christmas. The old devil hates the word Christmas. Those that aren't saved, that are living for the devil, hate the sound of Christmas. They want happy holiday. What holiday? But Lord, we thank you for Christmas, because Christ is in Christmas. And we thank you for this time to remember he came to earth and died. And so, Lord, we together as brothers and sisters in Christ, and with your help, Lord, we ask that you would continually to speak into our hearts and our lives your holy word, to live for you, to commit to you, to return from anything in our life that would separate us or destroy us, and to speak your word to a dying world today, Lord. They're dying all around us, Father. Many don't even know you, Lord, but you saved us. You saved our souls for all eternity. So, Lord, thank you. I praise you. We praise you. Let's all together just lift our hands and praise him. Praise him for your soul. Thank him for it. For he wanted you to be with him for eternity. That's why he created you a living soul. Exactly the way you are. Not the way somebody wants you, but the way he created you. That's exactly the way he wants you and I to live with him for eternity. So, Lord, we thank you, we praise you, we glorify you. Touch every home, meet every need, Lord. Bless every home. Do a supernatural work this Christmas in all of our lives. Help us to have a fire in our bellies to stand for truth in this hour out there, Lord. We're seeing it happen around the world. Islam is trying to put their foot into America.
Lord,
raise up an army of your people to repent, to come forward, to be an army, to go forth and let them know that Jesus Christ is their Savior. Is the one who died for them when they accept him. They're deceived. They're on the way to hell. Multitudes, multitudes. But Lord, you raised us. You saved us. When we commit our life to you, you came in. Let's just spread that good news this Christmas. In Jesus' name we pray it, and everybody shouted. Amen, amen. Look at somebody. Greet somebody. Greet everybody you don't know, and even if you know them, tell them you love them. Tell them you're glad you're here. Hallelujah.